Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainty about himself and the complete dependence that you have upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we mean, and this is one of the possible meanings that some of the scholars have mentioned for the term taslim. And obviously doubt is the opposite, that a person does not know. He is unable to create a type of certainty within his heart. Now, this is important. It is not just a psychological, no. It is deeper than the psychological. We have what is called psychological certainty, where you know you are okay with it, you know, you are fine with it in terms of your mental state. No, this is deeper. This is not only, for example, psychological certainty and psychological doubt. It is a pure and a complete taslim which enables a person to reach certainty. And on the other side, you have this doubt where this prevents a person from reaching that complete certainty. And this is a trait of the soul and not just a mental state. It is deeper than that. But what is important to note, the mental states are actually a function of the soul in the Islamic, as you like to call it, philosophical psychology. Or that's what they call it anyway. Not the psychology in terms of the science we have today, which just studies behavior. No, this is not what we mean. We mean the study of the human soul. And in Islam, the soul is one of the most important aspects of the human. Altogether, obviously, with his body, and we don't want to get into that discussion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to acquire this taslim, inshallah, and to remove the doubt from us. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
The debate.
Hello and welcome to Debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, targeting civilians, attacking the infrastructure, killing children, killing journalists, destroying media centers, and destroying residential units were all done by Israelis against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip during its latest onslaught. And in the occupied territories, the Israeli regime has continued to steal the land of Palestinians and attack the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the month of Ramadan and beyond. What does it take for the international community to condemn and punish the Israeli regime, and how much more do Palestinians have to suffer before that regime is stopped? Stay with us as we take a look at this month's debate. I'm going to start it off in Gaza City and talk to correspondent Ashraf Shannon. Ashraf, thanks so much for being with us. Well, Ashraf, tell us right now the overall situation. I mean, I've been looking at as far as the losses and the number of buildings and destruction. Just fill us in on the assessment today.
Yes, Marzia, today is the third day of the truce between Hamas and the Israeli regime that's been mediated by Egypt and Qatar and the UN. Right now, the human situation is only getting worse as more bodies are found under the rubble. The officials in Gaza realizing how much damage that has been sustained. All of that has not been cleared yet. All the numbers that are coming out by some satellite stations or figures by the UN are not the real figures. You have to understand, it's not only about money. You have to understand also that the loss, it's not only the physical loss of people, the loss of memory, the loss of everything dear to people here who've been displaced over and over again by the Israeli regime. Wanton killing and maiming of women, children, and elderly people took place under the watchful eye of the international community. It's about time that the world rises up and stand up for the rights of the Palestinians, the people who have been oppressed by the Israeli regime for decades, Marzieh.
Any hope from Gaza that actually the Israelis will be held responsible committing these crimes against humanity, basically going against the Geneva Convention? Any hope this time around that that will happen?
Well, Palestinians here, they always hear about the international community, about the International Criminal Court, the Rome Statute, but they need concrete things, real things happening. They want Israel to be held accountable. They want Israeli leaders who sent those pilots to bomb their homes to held accountable. And until that is done, there's nothing can help the Palestinians here.
Thank you so much for that update. Ashraf Shannon, correspondent on the ground there in Gaza City. I'd like to welcome my guests to this debate. Zakaria Odeh, coordinator of the Civil Coalition for Palestinian Rights, Al-Quds, and Ted Schmidt, former editor, Catholic New Times out of Toronto. Thank you both for being with us. I'm going to start it off with Zakaria. Now, since 1948, there have been crimes taking place in Palestine that, according to international law, could be considered as war crimes. And if you agree with that, why, after 73 years, is the international community impotent in stopping the Israeli regime in committing crimes against the Palestinian people?
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you. Yes. In fact, for the last 73 years of Israeli occupation since the Nakba, you know, we talk about the Nakba of the Palestinians. It took place in 1948, but it has been going on every day through the various Israeli policies. I mean, Israel have been for these years implementing a policy of forced displacement, where they have been taking over land, building settlements, expanding illegal settlements, Israeli discriminatory urban planning system, restriction on building for the Palestinian Arabs in Palestine as a whole and in Jerusalem in specific. Demolition of homes, because of the restriction on obtaining building permits. So Palestinians, they built without a permit because the Israeli institution, they don't provide the Palestinians with a permit to build houses. And if you build without a permit, then the houses will be demolished. So it's very important to mention that there are nearly 22,000 homes that are built in Jerusalem without a permit. What does that mean? That these homes are under the threat of demolition. So, as well, the closure of Jerusalem, the restriction of access and movement for the Palestinians from the West Bank and Gaza to access the city of Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem is one of the main holy cities for both Christian and Muslim.
And let me just jump in here, Zakaria, because what I understand is that today you were in the middle of some attacks. Can you tell us what happened today in Jerusalem Al-Quds that you witnessed?
Yeah, there have been a continuous and systematic harassment by the police in various neighborhoods of Jerusalem. As you know, one of the main neighborhoods I think you are aware of, Sheikh Jarrah, it's a neighborhood which has been since 1956. These were Palestinian refugees who were forced to leave their country as a result of the Nakba. And now there is an Israeli decision to evict and to force displace. We are talking about 73 families nearly 500 people that the Israeli court has took a decision to evict them from their home and to replace them with Israeli settlers. You know, settling settlers in the occupied territories is a clear violation of Geneva Convention. It's a war crime according to Rome Statute. It's not only that what has been going on for the last weeks, that the Israeli settlers have been storming Al-Aqsa Mosque. Every day they have been entering Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is one of the main holy places for the Muslims. So they enter the mosque, they do Talmudic or Israeli religious pray in the mosque, while they have been preventing the Palestinians from the rest of the West Bank and Gaza to access to the city of Jerusalem.
All right, stay with me, Zakaria. Let me get Ted in on this debate now. Ted, according to the Geneva Convention, war crimes are defined as these. I'm going to read the top four. Willful killing, torture or inhumane treatment, willfully causing great suffering or serious injury to body or health, extensive destruction of property. Now, none of these would be hard to prove when it comes to Israeli crimes. Just a video of the regime destroying buildings and killing whole families would be sufficient. So what will it take for the international community to make that transition and actually start holding Israel responsible for war crimes?
Well, it is happening. I'll start with quoting one of the great Israeli Americans, Jeff Helper, who's been living in Israel for 40 years. He asked the question that many of us are asking, how do they get away with it? For generations, they've been ignoring the Geneva Conventions. They've been ignoring international law. But, Marcia, let me just remind you what the big change is. In 1967, the Six-Day War, there were only three American networks. What has changed the whole equation here is the extraordinary proliferation of the Internet and social media.
Mm-hmm.
The great researcher Norman Finkelstein, in his in one of his books, made the point, this time you've gone too far. And around 2008, people began to totally get the picture that they weren't getting the picture. And now with social media, people are beginning to understand for the first time. Sadly, it takes a massacre, another massacre, and I would say another one, starting in 2008, 2014, 2018 at the Gaza Wall, where 2,000 to 3,000 people are killed with nothing said to Israelis. So my point is that we in North America live in the culture of Disneyland. It's hard to keep track of things. There's so many diversions. But now it's even on the front page of the New York Times, a very good article. I never thought I'd see it. So social justice takes a long time. I've been at this for much of my adult life, and I know things move slowly, but now they're catching up. People around the world, you'll see international demonstrations, and I'm relatively hopeful now that people begin to see exactly what's been going on. Zechariah has pointed out exactly what's happening on a day-to-day basis to Palestinians. Most North Americans do not see this, and so they're finally starting to see. And so that's a big point for me, is that we're finally even getting the New York Times to print decent articles, and a Toronto paper. We're beginning to get some balanced coverage.
And Ted, I just want to stay with you for a minute, because you talked about most North Americans not getting the main story. And with that, we look at the situation when it is talked about, it's for Palestinians. Rarely in these Western stations do they talk about the Christian Palestinians, that Christian Palestinians exist. Jewish Palestinians exist, as a matter of fact. Why do you think that is never talked about? We saw Christians being attacked for Easter of this year by the Israeli regime forces, but you never see that really talked about in Western mainstream media?
Well, there's a lot of things they don't talk about in Western media. One of the sad things, because I've been to Israel, Palestine three times, is so many Christians have left. They're among the best educated people, and they've just lost so much hope. They can't wait to get out. They are very much a minority in a Muslim area. And so, you know, there's not much media coverage of that. You're exactly right. So I can't answer to that, but that's exactly true.
Isn't it odd that the countries that claim that they are Christian-based, that even for them, because they happen to be Palestinian Christians, then they choose to even ignore the Christians, not only in Palestine, but we can see throughout this region. Don't you find that odd in general?
Yes, I do. But the great Palestinian writer who worked in America most of his life, Edward Said, his great book, Orientalism, there's been a bias here in the West about anything to do with the Muslim world. But that's changed. In 1948, when Palestinians were dispossessed of their land, and they lived in camps. Now, they're among the most educated people in the Arab world, and they hold important positions at American universities. It's extraordinary. My own city here is one of the most diverse cities in the world. And when I was a kid growing up, I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. I never knew anything about Islam. I never knew any Muslims. But the extraordinary change has been these voices are beginning to be heard.
Okay, great. Stay with me, Ted. Let me cross back over with Zachariah. Zachariah, now we have at least 65 Palestinian kids that were killed in this latest Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip. I mean, are the lives of Palestinian children important for the international community or not? And we should be hearing and seeing such outrage as what has taken place these 11 days, especially the death of this many children.
You know, unfortunately, the international community double standard when they deal with the issues. So when it comes to the Palestinians, so we feel that our lives and our children's life is not really that important, because I think, you know, this war against Gaza has been going on every few years. They go the same way and they destroy the buildings, they destroy the infrastructure, they kill people, they kill children. I think Israel is doing that because they have this impunity. I think it's time to stop the Israeli impunity and to take action. I think Israel will not continue to commit all these crimes and all these atrocities against the Palestinian people, whether in Gaza or the West Bank, and especially in Jerusalem, without the support or without the closing eye by the international community. Mm-hmm. So that's what we try always to talk to the international community. I think it's time that you should act. You should put pressure to stop this Israeli ongoing crimes and policies and atrocities.
And Zachariah, I'm so sorry because I'm short of time, but do you think with this, we're looking at the so-called international community, that it just proves that resistance is the only way? Your take on that?
Yeah, of course, because now we have been hearing, I think, now, for example, after the last war on Gaza, the last clashes, we have been hearing that the European Union, they are talking about there are other elements or actors in the occupied territories, which they meant in Gaza, like Hamas, that we need to talk to. We can't ignore. We need to consider. So unless people die, unless there is destruction, unless blood is really going down, so the international community will not move and will not do. And even in spite of all what's going, in spite of all these losses by the Palestinians, with their children, lives, destruction, still some European countries are blaming the Palestinians, and still they're saying that Israel has the right to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. We as a Palestinian, we don't have the right. We have no right our life is not really important, is not really matter. And it's important to say that all these escalation during the last few years of Israeli crimes and Israeli violation and atrocities has been taking place with the full support of the Trump American administration.
Okay.
You know, he was partner with the Israelis in all these colonization, apartheid, and crimes that are being committed against the Palestinian people.
All right. Well, Ted, what about that? I mean, it appears that Palestinians can't count on international law, international bodies to do anything. But what about the international civil society? We witnessed many, many protests around the world condemning Israel. Do you think that these actions or pressure can continue and that the civil society in the world can actually make this change and put pressure on Israel, like what we saw against apartheid South Africa?
I think
the big player in this whole equation is the United States. Change will not happen within Israel, Palestine. And the good news for me is that young Jews are understanding this, and they're saying, not in my name. American Jews are, many of the young people are having a transformation. They look on the screen and they say, this is not what Judaism is. They're moving away from Zionism, which is a false creed, and many are seeing it. And now you have wonderful people like Peter Beinart saying, I'm out. Zionism is not my Judaism. And so it's these very important, very well-educated young Jews who are in the streets. They're saying, not in my name. And I'm very, very hopeful that a change is afoot. It's not going to be the same thing, but it's going to happen in America. Slow but sure.
And Zachary, your thoughts and your perspective, what is it going to take for Palestinians to attain victory and total liberation? We've seen actually something interesting with the Palestinians being in solidarity, whether it's the occupied territories this time around or Gaza Strip. Yes. Your take.
Yeah, I think what's happened during the last few days, it never happened before. You know, it united the Palestinian people everywhere in the West Bank, in Gaza, under so-called the Green Line or 48, in the diaspora, in the camps, in the Arab countries, in Europe, everywhere. So what happened, the Israeli aggression during the last 2 weeks has been uniting the geography and the people as well. So I think that the solidarity and the support, whether in the Arab area, region area, or in internationally, we have been witnessing an increase of the solidarity and the support by the international community, the people. I think what's after this war and this uprising in the old part of Palestine is not the same as it was before. I think this gave a message to everybody, to the Israelis, to the Americans, to the international community, which says that people will not subject to all these colonial settler apartheid regime. They are rejecting the American policy here and the American support to the Israeli government in the occupied territories and in Palestine. I think we have a hope that things will change. There is a change, and in addition to what our friend he talked about, there has been changes within even the Jewish community, the young generation in the U.S., in Europe, everywhere. So this gives us a good hope that there will be a good opportunity for a change for this situation.
And on that note, I'd like to thank both of you for being with us on this debate at Press TV. Zachariah O'Day, coordinator of Civil Coalition for Palestinian Rights out of Al-Quds, and Ted Schmidt, a former editor Catholic at New Times out of Toronto. Thank you both. And always, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out right here from our international studios in Tehran. Thank you and goodbye.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. And we brought forth a tree issuing from Mount Sinai, which produces oil and food for those who eat.
Dear listeners, we're talking about the 20th verse of the chapter. وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ قُورِ سَيْنَاءَ تَنْبُتُ بِالدُّهْنِ صِبْغٍ لِلْآكِلِينَ. And a tree springing out of Mount Sinai, which produces oil and seasoning for those who eat. You may remember that in the previous program we talked about the different probabilities regarding the interpretation of the Mount Sinai. But the question that comes up to our minds is that why among all the various kinds of fruit, the emphasis is specially put and placed on these three fruits, date and grape in the previous verse, and olive in this verse, نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ in the previous verse, and in this one, a kind of tree that tambutu bidduhun, namely the olive tree. When we look at the research done by nutritionists, we see that there are few fruits as beneficial and effective for human body as these three fruits are. Olive oil is very valuable, and for the metabolism of the body of human beings, you rarely find something better than this. It is high in calories and beneficial for the liver. It removes illnesses of the kidneys and it is good for rectal colic. It is also a preferred way of removing gallstone. It strengthens the nerves and it is the elixir of health. Now, there are so many beneficial effects of the date that we can only mention some of them briefly here. Nutritionists say that the date is abundant in sugar, which is one of the healthiest sugars available, not the sugars that we eat regularly. In addition to that, dates, and eating dates actually, can prevent cancer. Scientists have discovered 13 vital materials and 5 vitamins in it, which make it a very valuable source of nutrition. And interestingly, this valuable source of nutrition is all gathered in very small piece of somehow fruit.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights
into the Holy Quran.
By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. In the opinion of some scientists, the grape also is a natural pharmacy. It has properties like those of milk. It produces twice as much heat in the body as meat. It is also good for refining the blood, removes poisons from the body, and its various vitamins give power and strength to the body. Dear listeners, one important point needs to be mentioned here. Whatever Almighty Allah has created is blessed. It is useful. فَوَاكِهُ كَثِيرًا فَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ There are so many fruits and you eat from them. But wherever human beings come into actually producing something, or actually they think out of themselves to use something in a specific way, as the Holy Quran in chapter Nahl says, تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سُكْرًا Sometimes the human beings make wine from the blessings of the Almighty Allah. Point is, wherever there is harm and loss, you can see the trace of human beings in there. The Almighty Allah has created the best things to be used in the best possible ways, namely these trees, date palms, grapes, and olive trees. And interestingly, He has shown us all the different possible ways we can use them in the best way, to put them into good use. But unfortunately, we see some human beings making the possibly worst things ever from these beautiful blessings of the Almighty Allah. In fact, it could be inferred from these verses that the best usages of these trees actually are mentioned in here. And in the other verses of the Holy Quran, sometimes it is mentioned that you, in the worst way, try to remove the benefits of these beautiful fruits the Almighty Allah has created for you. Anyway, these are the signs of the power of the Almighty Allah, that He has sent down for us the water that is the origin of ourselves, as well as all the blessings. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry, in your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website, at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa
I invite you to listen to a short part of chapter 9 of the book Sirrus Salat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini. General Secrets and Disciplines of the Adhan and Iqamah. And when the spiritual wayfarer found himself followed by the angels at the sacred presence, he should take care of his salah and praises Allah through their tongue and appeal to them for his deeds. And he himself, who is the angels and divine soldiers' imam, changes into the follower of wilaya, and through such spiritual conducts, ascends to divine ascension through their lead, and would be a sincere and obeyed follower, as the Ali alayhi salam is the straight way and the pious prayers, and the Ilyas of the leading conduct. Don't step on this way without being led by Ilyas. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq said, Allah the Glorified and Almighty sent down to the Prophet a carriage of light comprised of 40 sorts of light which were around the heaven and the heaven of Allah, blessed and most high, blurs the eyes of the onlookers. One of them was yellow and it became the cause of yellowness of the yellow. Another one was red and it became the cause of the redness of the red. Then he added, He, the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, sat in it and it ascended him to the lower heaven. The angels ran to the outskirts of the heaven and then they fell in the prostration and said, All glorified and all holy is our Lord, the Lord of the angels and the spirit. How this light is like the light of our Lord. Jibreel said, God is great. The angels stopped talking and the heaven was opened. The angels gathered and came to pay tribute to the Prophet of Islam, group after group, as the tradition goes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. I'm your host Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi. Today we have another saying from Imam Khomeini, and in this saying Imam Khomeini has said that the devils are trying to break this Islam. Now, in this statement, Imam is making clear that Islam is on its own, it's alone. And because it is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are opposing this Islam are the devils. And on the other hand, he says that today Islam is standing against all forms of kufr. And kufr here means unbelief or rejecting to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all kufr.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
Now, in these two statements, we know that Islam is on its own, the way Islamophobia is spread in the world. Not only Islamophobia, there are some people who are so-called Muslims or maybe the scholar Muslims, and they are also trying to spread the word of fear amongst the people. They, in today's world, are refusing some of the basics of Islam. In the month of Ramadan, for example, we read in the Dua Iftitah that وَقِلَّةَ أَدَدِنَا وَكَثْرَةَ عَدُوِّنَا. We are few and our enemies are a lot. There's a big number of enemies. And that's what Imam Khomeini is also referring here through this statement, that the devils are trying to break this Islam. It means there are many enemies out there and there is only one Islam.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
For the second week in a row, a march in Paris for Palestine has been banned by the French authorities. The only authorized demonstration was a static gathering, but these restrictions had at least one positive outcome. It temporarily unified a broad spectrum of organizations. Trade unions, political parties, and many associations demonstrated all together against the Israeli war crimes and in favor of the Palestinian resistance. Long time not seen. The protesters also blamed the complicity of French President Macron with the Israeli war crimes.
It's totally hypocrisy. The French government does not condemn the colonization and the ethnic cleansing in Jerusalem. The French government only condemns Palestinians when they defend themselves. Now there is a generalized outrage of all the Palestinians in Gaza, in Jerusalem, in the West Bank, in occupied cities since 1948, and in the refugee camps. Today, all these organizations act together to support the Palestinian resistance.
Many protesters salute the recent ceasefire concluded between Israel and Hamas, but they say it's a very temporary and partial ceasefire.
We're all happy about the ceasefire, but this doesn't fix all remaining problems. The colonization of Palestine by Israel has to be stopped, the political prisoners have to be released, and the apartheid policy has to end. It's a shame for the entire world. Macron said that Israel has the right to defend itself. It's a scandal. You don't defend yourself by killing children.
French President Macron indeed condemned the rockets fired by Hamas by saying that Israel has the right to defend itself. At the same moment, entire families and children died in Gaza under the Israeli bombs. His statement scandalized a lot of people.
We all want sanctions against Israel, divestment and a boycott of Israeli products so that pressure will increase to stop the colonization of the Palestinian territories. We denounce the complicity of the French government with Israel. France is not putting any pressure on Israel. Even worse, France collaborates with Israel economically and militarily.
The international NGO Human Rights Watch called the policy of Israel against the Palestinian population apartheid. These are strong words and a reference to the South African apartheid system decades ago. That system has been overcome by international pressure. Time to do the same with Israel.
The organizers here demand concrete sanctions against Israel from the French authorities and from the European Union. Chris Den Hond, Paris.
Yemenis have extended their congratulations to Palestinian people over the landmark victory of the resistance front against the criminal Israeli regime. They also say Yemen's financial support will persist until Palestinians regain all their usurped territories from the Zionist regime.
The victory of the Palestinian resistance was like a big blow to the Zionist enemy, who didn't expect the power of deterrence and the armed struggle that the Palestinian resistance showed in this battle, which prompted the Zionist entity to begin to recalculate its moves and declare a unilateral ceasefire in the beginning.
The spokesman for the anti-aggression parties bloc lauded Iran for enhancing the financial and technical capabilities of Palestinian resistance factions. He said Iran has always been playing a key role in supporting the resistance front, mainly in Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria.
The Islamic Republic of Iran played a leading role via the Quds Force, which was led by martyr Qasem Soleimani, and provided resistance fighters in Gaza with all kinds of weapons and training. There is also missile and financial support, and we thank the leadership in Iran for their unlimited support for the axis of resistance, whether in Palestine or Syria or in Lebanon.
During the 12 days of the Israeli aggression on Gaza, the Israeli attacks have killed scores of Palestinians, including women and children, and wounded more than 1,900 others, according to the Gazan Health Ministry, in what is said to be the fiercest war against Palestinians over the past 7 years.
Yemenis appraised the victory of the Palestinian resistance, saying it is a source of pride for the entire nation. They say this victory is the first step toward the full liberation of all occupied Palestinian territories. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas took place on Friday after the worst violence in years. But some clashes broke out around Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem Al-Quds, where similar scenes touched off the Gaza conflict. Israel's bombardment of Gaza stopped after 11 days under a deal brokered by Egypt, which is negotiating with both sides on how to maintain stability. Right after the ceasefire, Palestinians took to streets in Gaza, embracing one another to celebrate the victory against Israel. Mosques also played the song of the victory of the resistance, and people in cars flew Palestinian flags. In order to look into different aspects of this victory, we attended a meeting in which Palestinian officials elaborated on the recent triumph.
It was a great victory for Palestinians because Israel lost around $2 billion following their defeat during this 11-day war. But they also lost billions of dollars as their propaganda machine failed, and all the world now knows about their media hype and the lies that they are trying to disseminate.
Iran's former ambassador to Jordan also talked to the reporters, saying that the Palestinian resistance is getting stronger day by day.
The blockaded Gaza is just 292 square kilometers, and it has been under siege for several years. but the Israeli regime didn't dare to conduct ground operations to occupy this small strip. It shows that Israel has suffered a strategic defeat this time again.
Finally, they set forth plans and ways on how to protect civilians during the wars.
Panelists at this conference also congratulated Palestinians on their great victory against Israel. Human Abedi, Tehran.
South Korea is betting big on semiconductors, with the country's tech giants investing billions of dollars in new plants and the government providing tax breaks. South Korean President Moon Jae-in celebrated construction of new facilities last week.
Our companies are taking a further leap. Over the next decade, Korean chipmakers will invest over 510 trillion won, or 450 billion U.S. dollars. Samsung Electronics will construct large-scale production lines for memory semiconductors and system semiconductors at its factories in Pyeongtaek and Hwaseong. And SK Hynix will establish a large-scale production base in Yongin.
This year, a shortage of semiconductors caused production delays and suspensions worldwide. Even South Korea's major car manufacturers Hyundai and Kia had to shut down periodically for lack of the key component.
South Korea produces about 20% of the world's semiconductors. The industry also plays a very important role in the South Korean economy, accounting for 20% of the country's exports. And recently, the price of semiconductors has been quite high, increasing profitability.
Samsung is South Korea's largest company and number one semiconductor producer. But its de facto chief, Lee Jae-young, is in jail, creating a degree of uncertainty amid the massive investment plans. Samsung's Lee Jae-young is scheduled to complete his 2.5-year prison term in July 2022 for bribing South Korea's former president. But calls are growing in many sectors, including almost two-thirds of the general public, according to a recent survey, for Lee to receive a presidential pardon, considering his company's importance to the South Korean economy. Samsung is also reportedly planning to construct another U.S. plant with a $17 billion investment. President Moon this week visits the U.S. as American officials seek to reduce tech dependence on China. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Palestinians have taken to the streets across the Gaza Strip after a ceasefire between Gaza and Israel went into effect Friday at 2 a.m. local time.
This is a joyful moment for all Gaza. This is the victory for Ramadan, the Eid, and Jerusalem. We will return all the occupied lands, all the cities. If they call us, we will be the first to be with them.
We were watching the media outlets. The victory of the resistance is the victory for all the Muslims. The Palestinian resistance returned the dignity for all Muslims.
People in the occupied West Bank also hit the streets shouting slogans in support of people in Gaza and Palestinian resistance groups. Similar celebrations were held in several other cities around the world. People rallied in the Jordanian border town of Soymeh to celebrate the Palestinians' victory in the conflict. A car convoy drove through the streets of the Iranian capital, Tehran, in solidarity with Palestinians. Thousands marched in support of the Palestinians across Pakistan and denounced Israel's attacks on the people in the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank. The ceasefire was brokered and is being monitored by Egypt, which has in the past been involved in intermediary efforts between the two sides. The truce put an end to 11 days of attacks that killed scores of people in the Gaza Strip, including women and children. This wasn't the first time the besieged territory came under Israeli fire, but this time Palestinians turned the tables against the regime and launched unprecedented rocket and drone attacks on Israeli cities, inflicting damage and casualties on the enemy. The resistance groups have described the latest flare-up as a point of departure in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
I announce for this great victory that our fearless resistance has achieved. It is a divine, strategic, and composed victory during this phase of the struggle with the Zionist enemy. They hit the enemy with a painful and severe strike, which will leave deep marks on this entity, its society, military, security, and political institutions, as well as on its future in the Holy Lands of Jerusalem.
Our fighters were able, through rockets, mortars, and cornet shells, to turn enemy cities and sites into an unfit place for life. We thank the Islamic Republic of Iran, which supported the resistance.
In the meantime, several Israeli political and military figures have questioned Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's motives for launching the offensive on the Gaza Strip and approving a ceasefire without any preconditions or a strategic breakthrough for the regime. Netanyahu's political opponents speculate that the premier ordered the strikes after he failed to establish a coalition cabinet to put an end to Israel's political stalemate. But the developments over the past 2 weeks have shown that the next time the regime ventures an offensive against Gaza, it could face consequences more serious than a political vacuum in Tel Aviv.
Anti-Israel sermons were delivered in Islamic schools across Pakistan. Tens of thousands of people came on the streets alone in Islamabad to voice their support for the Palestinian people. There were similar rallies in other major urban centers to protest over Israel's latest round of nearly 2 weeks long attacks on the Gaza Strip, which left scores of Palestinians dead, many of them women and children. Officially, Pakistan observed the Friday as a Palestinian day to express solidarity with the innocent Palestinians. On the streets, people in Pakistan rage with anger like elsewhere in the Muslim world since Israel attacked and desecrated Islam's third holiest mosque after forcible eviction of Palestinian residents in eastern Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and subsequent unilateral war it imposed on Gaza.
I want for government, he declared jihad. There is the only one solution to liberate Palestinians. It's only way jihad.
The disappointment and feeling of hopelessness among people against Organization of Islamic Cooperation or the OIC are growing to a tipping point. No longer people in Pakistan seem to be taking 57-member bloc of Muslim countries as their genuine representative body. People in this protest believe that OIC's inaction has emboldened Israel's aggression upon unarmed Palestinians. Therefore, they want Pakistan and other willing Muslim countries for a joint military action against Israel. This demand was partially echoed during a recently held conference of foreign ministers of OIC, where some of the non-Arab states proposed to set up an international force of protection to prevent similar aggression by Israel in future. Not everywhere in Pakistan, the pro-Palestinian rallies were safe. At least six were killed and over a dozen others were injured after a bomb attack hit a rally in Chaman, southwest of Pakistan. Many suspect pro-Israel terrorist group behind the terror attack.
They want to prevent Pakistani public to attend these rallies. These elements, they fear that if Pakistani public attend these rallies, Pakistani government will get under pressure and they will definitely do something against Israel.
Anti-Israel sentiments run high in Pakistan, given the regime's policy of systematically killing innocent Palestinians and evicting them from their homes over the course of decades. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Supporters of Palestinians who struggle for their rights and justice gathered in front of the headquarters and branches of RAI, the Italian national broadcaster, to protest against what they call biased coverage of the ongoing conflict between Israel and Palestine. The demonstration took place in several cities, including Rome, Milan, and Naples. Protesters shouting shame and Israel go away accused the national broadcaster of misrepresenting the complexity of the latest Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, as well as ridiculing the truth.
The reports on the Israeli-Palestine conflict that RAI TV has been airing were not up to the standards one would expect from a public broadcaster. Italian people have been clever enough to understand the truth. It's no coincidence that pro-Palestine demonstrations were held in 25 cities across the country. The reports never mentioned the Israeli occupation, never once.
People attending Rome's demonstration said the Italian media outlets faced no ethical dilemmas when it came to not reporting on the Israelis who were trying to steal Palestinians' houses in Sheikh Jarrah in Jerusalem or Quds.
Italian mainstream media generally covers Palestinians when they are either protesting or physically confronting Israeli aggression, with the outcry broadly described as escalation of violence, quite the